Hi, good day, world. It's Wesley Pepper here. This is my podcast, Wesley Pepper's Art Lexia. And welcome to another episode. You know, thanks to all my new listeners. I see that's growing actually consistently. So big ups to all of that, man. It's hella motivating. And it seems like I'm saying the right thing. So thank you to everybody. To all the listeners, please feel free to comment and let me know what you think about each episode. You can do that on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and all the other platforms we have available. So, I'd like to get a little bit of sense and understanding of what you guys think, so I'll appreciate that. But thanks for tuning in, man. What a week. It's actually been quite a heavy, heavy week. I'd like to start off with sending my deepest condolences to the Groenewald family. Ricky lost his father on Sunday, and I respected that man immensely. I respected Mr. Groenewald immensely, and I also share quite a long and interesting history with Groenewald family. And I chatted to them a little bit in the week, and it was just an incredibly sad thing, man. Moving on from that, into today's episode, I'm talking to a incredibly talented sister all the way from, Nelspruit in Mpumalanga. Yeah, I'm talking today to Ketiwe Mandao. We're going to be talking about her writing, her publishing company, and, she, along with myself and others, was all partaking in the, National Book Week coming up this coming week. We're gonna be talking about how the writing industry or how the publishing industry has pretty much turned on its head, man. COVID has really flipped everything on its head, and that industry definitely wasn't immune to that at all. But she's got a really interesting a reach, because she doesn't just write it, she doesn't just publish, she's an entrepreneur. And I know she also is a herbalist, and she calls herself a forest queen, and I find that pretty interesting. So we're definitely going to talk about that. Like I said, it's been a pretty heavy week, man, and it's just been coming really not so much tougher to stay positive, but it's just becoming, well, it has becoming tougher. I was trying to think of a less dramatic term, but I'm still very far from giving up at all. I still got a lot of energy in me, and I think I still have a lot to give. And if you're listening to this, it's tough all over, man. So hopefully today's podcast will lift everyone up. I know it certainly will for me, because I've been looking forward to this one as well. Ketiwe also has a very, very great energy and also a lot of insight into what she's doing. So we're definitely going to be unpacking all of that. And don't forget to check out the podcast on all the various platforms. So from Spotify to iTunes. And please, share your comments and your thoughts and all of that. And let's make it a bit more interactive. And again, I've said it in the beginning, but I'm really chuffed about all the new listeners we're getting. It's really, really, really exciting, man. So thanks for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast. And I'm not a motivational speaker by any by any means, but if you're listening to this, just hang in there. Let's just hang in there. I guess I'm saying that to myself as well, because I'm definitely not immune to any of this. But so thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy today's podcast. So just okay. To all my listeners, Ketiwe, you are a publisher, a writer, a journalist. I think you're an entrepreneur too. And you say forest queen, and I know you're a herbalist as well. I think the forest queen is pretty interesting, but we'll get to that. Just explain yourself to my listeners exactly how you, because I don't like to box artists or creative people. I don't like to tell them this is what you are and so on. So, do you mind telling my listeners exactly what or you know what is your are you a publisher, are you a writer, are you a journalist, you know, what is your core business?
Okay. All right. Yeah, I guess to try to summarize things, my name is Kethiwe Mndawe, and I'm an artist in many ways, but you know, my over the years, I guess the talent that I've explored and was more comfortable with was writing. So
Yeah.
I started off as a writer and got involved a lot in media work growing up as a
Yeah.
journalist.
Yeah.
And I guess while I sort of thought I was going to take a career in journalism, I realized that, you know, like most artists, it really gets too staged and boring and too many scopes that one has to follow. And there's not a lot of platforms for opinion, especially from the public. So
Interesting.
I went into different ventures in the whole communication sphere, which then allowed me to go into PR. And so I started my business in PR, and I also, while I was getting some of my children's books published, you know, realizing the gaps in that as well. Not a lot of black writers, you know, sort of get opportunity out there in the current publishing industries. So I started my self-publishing services and so on, and it grew to be, I guess, a developing smaller publishing house. And yeah, so I've been doing quite a lot of work around that for writers, especially in my province, Mpumalanga. And personally, I've always been a more of a very spiritual person, and I'm spiritual in the sense of the desire to know different ways that the universe works, you know, in the sciences and chemistry. And this led me to also take up a lot of opportunities and ways to get to learn indigenous herbs. And that's the other work that I do as a herbalist. But yeah, whatever that I get myself involved in, it's always important for me to document, to write, to communicate, you know, using different platforms. And that's how it's opened up for me.
I wanna come in there about your because we're both falling part of the National Book Week this year, and we have in the
Yes.
past. Because we know that they've moved to a virtual space this year, and I kind of want to touch base with that, but not right now. Regarding your publishing, man, and your writing, do you just for my listeners' sake, just so they understand, so you run your own company, that's correct,
Yes.
and you publish majority writers in Mpumalanga, correct?
Yes,
And
correct.
you also do a lot of children's books, right?
Yes.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, man. Like what I've been doing throughout the series is talking to creatives about their processes. I'll tell you why I'm so fascinated behind artists or creatives processes. It's because I think it's something that's not really documented enough, it's something that I find is very complex, and actually sometimes actually quite simply some simplistic, but that's only certain people. So I wanna start off there with the processes, man, and we'll move into the various other platforms, the digital platform, the Bookweek platforms, and so forth a bit later. But I understand what you what you're saying when you say with whatever project or whatever you're involved in, you sort of have this whole look and feel, and it must look and feel or sound a certain way. And your Ahmed, oh man, let me start like this. Where does the or rather let me sketch it like this. What comes first? Is it the does it do you actually go out looking for and I'm talking from a publishing perspective. Do you actually go out looking for certain writers, for certain books, or do they come or do they approach you?
Well, I guess when you start off, you sort of channel your customer or your consumers or potential consumers the way that out of the needs that they have. So I was mostly interested in short stories, poetry, nonfiction biographies and so on, until I found myself in a space where there's just so many vast genres, and some that I guess as in a South African space, some that are being invented. And you can't close yourself up for those opportunities when it comes to artists. So I'm my business is very flexible. We basically let you run with your whatever you want to call your book, and we just provide all the services you need. And I like very much to work close with my authors, so that there's always agreements and ideas being tossed around as you produced your book. And that's how the company has been running.
So check it, man. Like if we look at writers or publishers from like Johannesburg and Cape Town, I've noticed that there's a certain if I look from like a short story perspective, there's always a certain narrative which is similar, not always the same. Do you find that some in Mpumalanga? Do you think that the writers are just churning out different style of stories there? Not necessarily a genre, but do you think it's different to the other provinces?
It's not always different. There's always a lot of similarities, especially with people exploring writing about what I guess what the world calls folk tales. But in our language, tingwanigwani, especially in the educational and children's books sectors. So people start, I guess, over the years, people start discovering other ways which storytelling was done. And as they transform and they create their own way of telling stories, we most of the time find ourselves out of a typical category or genre that, the artist, I mean, the author should follow. And I think that's okay. Whatever they want to define it once the book is done, or whatever the project itself, then it should be that. And whether we get a market for it or not, in terms of selling and distribution, it's still there's still a whole lot of other ways of selling. So we don't limit.
I actually wanted to touch on that, your market. Do you sell majority only in Mpumalanga?
No, not I can actually say we get a lot of I guess responses, especially after we do the marketing or online marketing of the book or the author from in basically random places that we wouldn't expect within the country, and also finding ourselves, I'm talking about the company, the business, being so involved in different movements and communities out there, maybe speaking for or against the education system or different literature associations and organizations. So that's where we get to also attract our buyers and people actually order our books or
Explain
whatever.
to me some of the organizations that you are involved with.
Okay, I wouldn't limit I guess the question to organizations, but
Or groups, or yeah, I'm just using it more as a
yes,
loose term,
grooms
just to like
movement.
say, basically, who else are you associated with, man? Because I'm sort of checking, man. I'm super interested behind that, nah. I'm super interested how the creative bases him or herself in their respective provinces, how their art sort of mimics their surroundings. And how that sort of translates into the more formal side, marketing and so forth, and sort of like what and these organizations or groups, let's just use that. I know like there's also different energies and different styles and different techniques and you know that one experiences
True.
like that. So that's kind of like where I'm or rather what I'm trying to suss out.
True. I totally agree. So for in my instance, we at a earlier, I guess years ago, we got involved a lot with groups that are of parents that got together and want to do a little bit more participation or influence in what education their children are getting. And this forms all types of homeschooling groups or parents that are questioning things like vaccinations. So, they would form groups and so on. And we're always in there as a publishing and media company and providing, I guess, additional content or even sharing all of the research or information that they have in other platforms. So it's that. It's also a lot of movements for artists out there, and especially in the province. I have an organization, for instance, called Siyakhala Babali, which means we are not really sad, but we are crying out as writers. So that has a lot of young writers all the way from, like in high school, all over the districts who, have been writing for so long, but it's almost like, when they approach commercial publishers, their work is just not even looked at. And that's the reality of, people just not understanding that the publishing industry is just business. It's just business. It's not a talent scouting or talent supporting industry
That's a
currently.
very interesting way of looking at
Yeah.
it.
So we have to be real with these young writers and actually tell them it's either you write to fit in that box, and maybe later in life you might make money from it, or you just do whatever that you have to do and create your own following,
It's interesting that you say it's
No
not a talent.
way.
because it's funny. I know that people outside our industry always look at it as if okay, let me just get a little bit controversial. There's not always the most talented people that make all the money, and that's across music, fine art, and so on and so on. And just for the listeners, like, yeah, man, okay, let me bite my tongue. I don't want to say if I want to market this at I want to market this podcast to other people that I don't exactly want to piss off right now. So check him, and I get that. So just so I can put it into perspective, how long have you been operating from now? How long have you been publishing for and working as a how long has the company been operating for now?
I registered the company in 2010, and at that time it was just a self-publishing business, and then I guess only up until 2014, I decided to just be as broad as one can get within the multimedia and publishing and communications, which I guess because I was at that time running a magazine, and also attempting a community newspaper, we realize that, there's also creatives out there that would rather express their work through things like that, and they would also like to end up, registering or owning magazines and so on. So we had to give those services to them as we learned as well, I guess that's
That's
the interesting
interesting.
part of
That's interesting
business.
because you're saying around like 2014, so if my timeline is correct, that's when smartphones started to really explode into the SA market. So do you think that and I want to get into this like before the pandemic and sort of afterwards. I would assume that technology had a big role to play with that local writers from Mpumalanga are seeing opportunities of getting their work out there via all these social media platforms, and you were just trying to formalize it or organize it. Is that the correct assumption?
Yes, I would agree with that, in a way that we found ourselves in that, I guess at that time it was more of an opportunity that one has to see how far, you can take or reach out, in terms of marketing. But I guess at a particular season, most of the materials that we wanted to produce or get into the platforms were targeted at education or Department of Education or all the schools and so on. And now we had to sort of market to the schools or inside the schools. And at that time, as you say, a lot of young people were, flexible enough to be able to take the step themselves and make the calls or text at that time, mix it, all these things that existed. And that's when we had a one-on-one direct communication with young people who are, writers or who'd want to get into journalism or communications. So yeah, that was different, it was a change and transformation that we don't have to get permission for from teachers, principals, or circuit managers. We can just directly have a sort of a new audience, which is the students or the learners at schools.
No, I see you. I see what you're saying from there. That's also another point I actually want to get back to about later, but just moving forward, man. So as you know, man, like we're dealing with this pandemic that's becoming more and more difficult like every week. Certainly on my side, I mean, this week I lost two people who I know personally. Not because of the virus, but still. So there's this, and it's actually kind of like stunting productivity, man, because I'm just human. But listen here, man. Before March, or rather, let's take it even back. At the beginning of the year, what projects were you with the company working? And Ahmed, I was meaning to ask, what's the name of the company? Jeez. For the publishing,
Okay. So the company is called Cavia Publishing and Media. Those two words. And yeah, it's an well it's a name that doesn't exist, but I had to make it up combining two of my names, and it sounded like a new language on its own. So that worked for me. That worked for me, and that's what I called it. And
Interesting. Yeah.
your
So what projects were you working on
if
like before? Because kind of
huh?
what I wanna suss out, man, is how what you're working on before the pandemic has changed. How what like what platform are you now marketing on? What type of writing did you decide to, well, let you explain.
Hello?
I can hear
I
you.
just wanted you to can you repeat the last end of the question?
Yeah, man, basically. Basically, what I'm interested in is to see how that how as creators adapted to the pandemic and how they've changed their projects. I'll give you a bit of a background. I was talking to some a friend of mine in the theater industry, and she had to just the rehearsal space. In terms of how they rehearsed, that changed. Like, it was almost a 360 change, and now they still had the thing of, you know, of doing act of rehearsing with a mask. So I mean, like, that has got so many, you know, acting has a lot to do with your facial expressions and so on. And you know, and like with the music, I know guys are also, are they distributing their sound, visual art, these guys are also doing something interesting. So yeah, that's sort of where I'm coming from.
And I guess being honest, that when this whole epidemic was being publicized or being made a huge deal by the media at that time, I think any typical artist who is in the space would have picked it up back then that it's really time for, it's not even like time for change, but it's time for us now to really invest or kick out our virtual or online projects. Most of us already had that in the pipeline because I guess we as artists always think ahead. We never actually, I don't think we went through that so-called stress of,
That's an interesting point.
now we won't get jobs or
Yeah.
this is, this is the end of the world. If you're a real creative artist that spends at least 3 hours of your day on your art, on your skill, then you would have really picked it up that
Yeah.
you should have been ready anyway, to go this route. It's not about the pandemic itself. It's just that's where everything is. That's where people would prefer to receive your expression,
Yeah.
because now we're getting to a world where nobody would be as excited or interested to travel, or to mix with other people. Like, things are literally changing with the programming and some of the brainwash we are put under every day. So people just want to do things now in their own space, as comfortable as they can be. And this takes us back to digital. No, there was no other option we had anyway.
You raise a point there that I can totally agree with you, is that artist, this wasn't a real shock. I was joking to a friend of mine that was saying that people are worrying now about working from home, and I'm like,
We've had home offices.
come on. That wasn't a change for any of us, not at all. Yeah, man. Look here, man. I totally agree there, man. What I'm also interested in, and I'm trying to sort of forecast things here. Coming from a visual art background, I mean, like, the actual just idea of having a physical gallery now, like, even back then, it I already see it was losing its because the overheads are just too much, the expenses are too much. It's sort of elitist. People don't really go into art galleries. At least we don't have that culture here. The best way to get hold of and to build audiences is online, and now we were sort of forced into that, and it's actually opening up. And it's closing up some spaces, but I know it's definitely opening up. And what I've also picked up, like, creatives, writers, let's somehow use that as an example. So, you know, guys who are prolific bloggers who keep posting their work, you know, their audience already exists via their social media platform. So it's almost a no-brainer to sort of migrate that into, like, a website or a virtual room or so on. So that actually leading up to the next question, man. So as we know, or the next point, now with Bookwig going virtual, what are your expectations, man? Let me sort of start there, and
move from there. What is your, are
Um.
you versus you know what happened in previous years versus what we have, what we're dealing with today?
Yeah, um, my expectations would be that this might, I mean, there should be an expectance that this is really going to be strange for a lot of people.
Yeah.
The people that are going to participate or be an audience in the virtual book fair, they are going to, move around it as people who are a bit confused, and excited at the same time. So you might get quite, I mean, we have to be real also as exhibitors there, that we should expect mostly feedback and critique and, a whole lot of other, I guess, suggestions from our participants, because it's literally a new thing that we are both on both ends are experiencing. So there won't be like over the years fun
Hey, I missed that
it's
day.
yeah, I don't think any
Yo,
of
I
this is
missed
it's
that.
going to be as in terms of fun physically, right? So the fun will be there internalized, but yeah, so I it will also put us in a space where, as when it's all done and successful, it will put us in a space of what can we do more to just, color up this whole space, because it's a bit dull right now. It still needs a bit of color and, splashes here and there. What else can we do to sort of pretend or be convinced that we are still seeing each other as people?
Yeah, you know what, I want to come in on that point there. So early on this year, the National Arts Festival also went completely virtual. And what I found interesting there was this fact, was that instead of they, a large portion of their marketing was based on performance arts, right? And on the performance art, there was also a large a focus on music, but they weren't even they were actually quite strict, because they weren't even allowing people that instruments that you blow, like a trumpet and so on. There's more strings and so on because of COVID protocol and all of that. But what I found, what I found interesting is that when they conceptualized that virtual festival, they thought that the majority of the people will want to go and watch things that they, I would assume, and I'm assuming, because you know we consume a lot of YouTube, so it makes sense to put, you know, actors and singers and so there wasn't a large there wasn't a large focus on the visual arts and more two-dimensional sort of artworks. So if we want to look at now at the Book Week, I mean, I know they're having a lot of talks and all of that, and I'm actually quite interesting to see how people will, you know, log on and join in those seminars and all of that. But there wasn't, when these visual art guys were putting the thing together, they were trying to focus on performance art, and what we're exhibiting. I know with my illustrations, it's just images. You know, you with your books and so on. So I think that what you're saying there in terms of coloring up that space, that's actually a very interesting metaphor, because I definitely think there's lots of room for improvement. So we'll see how the next few weeks go, and I definitely see that's a bit of an opportunity, because I've also picked up is that people are even when things get quote unquote back to normal, and I personally don't see that ever happening. But so now, you know, you if I'm in town, I'm not gonna drive to Sandton to do a meeting. I'll just do it via Zoom. So like small things like that, I know won't change. But this new virtual world, there's another point I wanted to make, just closing off this point, is that the younger generation who you know, who are more tech savvy, who understand the space, might be a bit more interactive, but they don't necessarily have the money, basically. They wouldn't have, versus like the older folks who usually come and buy like this old take the time paging through books. So do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think most of the things that you've covered, I fully agree with, and that's what have been, a lot of SMEs in the publishing space and media space have been, trying to figure out. So, in terms of, I don't know if your question is also touching a lot on the education or the educational materials for children. You know, and actually, before I make an opinion on that, I wanted to just comment on something that happened recently.
Okay.
With the death of this guy who was the Black Panther.
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, so we were on that discussion that during that time, even before the movie itself, there was quite a lot of illustrators. All over the world, and writers that, you know, wanted to create and put in the market actual Black heroes, you know, comic books, storybooks, even films and series and so on. And so there was that whole movement going. And now, if, you know, we want to be all like conspiracy theorists, there was a lot of reaction against that.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the situations with Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
I mean, all of this is not a coincidence. They can't
absolutely
just all of a sudden be shooting people, and some of these things, or some people might say they're staged, we don't know. So I think just going back to the Black Panther guy, I mean, it's as creatives, while we're hearing these different angles and perspectives of what's really happening, that's where we should be actually bold enough to have this content written and have this content shared in different platforms, because we're at a time where a lot of the former education or former programming that some of us grew up with in the 80s,
yeah,
all of that has to die off.
Yeah.
You know, all of that has to die off. We need to start entertaining real things, real stories. You know, we have a whole history of liberation struggles and so on. And all of those materials around that were good. And, you know, for everybody to know and learn and always keep as books.
Yeah.
But yeah, now we literally have a generation that, you know, they can't do anything with that. They don't care. They wanna, you know, they wanna be astronauts and stuff. How do we now you know, change the whole thing? So what I'm basically saying is we are faced with an industry that's just falling apart, whether, you know, the commercial companies whether they believe it or not, because most of them are in denial. So all of these things are, I guess, that the structures and the methodologies and all these textbook stuff that they created are all falling apart. And our question is, are we the so-called new creators and new inventors in the creative space, are we ready to replace them? I mean, to replace and
very good
have
question,
alternatives.
Eh? Very good point.
Yeah.
Very,
I think those are some
point
of the things we should be rather focusing on than trying to improve material that has always been there.
Very
I mean,
good
I can't
point.
I can't do, yeah. I can't think of a magazine now in 2020 and still think fashion and celebrities. That's just dead stuff. You know, we want to know where can we actually live when the world is going into pieces.
Yeah.
You know, we want to know how to build stuff and build underground chambers, or
how to cook,
all the stuff we
food
see in movies. Yeah, how to plant your own food, because we're probably gonna run out of this and that. And we are all in the extreme modes. We all just going crazy, and in a way, it's fun. Thinking fun. That maybe the, yeah, thinking that the world is you know, a doomsday is just around the corner, because it makes us really take our skills to the next level.
Very interesting point, eh? Very interesting point, because how I see that is that, like, the old politics and old businesses, old business models, and is dead.
Yeah.
Like that thing is dead. So new, it's you know, and when I say new politics and new work, it's just things that you're focusing on now, is that people's needs and their behaviors are changing. People, and you are correct, like thinking of how to, you know, like the old fashion is old, the whole things, celebrity thing versus like, I just, how do I survive? You know, how do I stop from not chopping my ear off? You know, how do I've got to raise a family and so on. And how do I cope? And personally, Kitiwe, I think that's where artists, have got to play a huge role, because we know how to sort of, how to conceptualize it, how to make it practical, and we definitely have the experience yes. to do that. And like I've been noticing that, and like, we know, with, you don't have to look far down history. Like, you know, whenever there's major change, there's always resistance to that, and I think that's why there's such a lot of, I mean, like the shooting in Aldo's just yesterday, was it 2 days ago? Mm. I mean, like in America too, a major change is always mm-hmm. you know, always comes with a lot of resistance. And I think we're probably going to see a lot more of that too, which is unfortunate. But yeah, man, I totally agree with you there, man. So look here, man, let's just move into a sort of a closing off thingy here. Let me just check this notes I made quick. Yeah, okay, so in Nelspruit, in Mpumalanga,
yeah,
are there any progressive projects that before the pandemic would have seen or sounded as, you know, but too much, but now it's you know, that the time might be more ready for it now, ripe now than it was before the pandemic? Mm. are there any initiatives, any projects like that in your part of the world?
Well, we did have before the pandemic, quite a lot of new events and festivals that came up that was more involved in, you know, the creative arts, which is mm-hmm. your craft, performers, you know, local musicians getting platforms, comedy.
Yeah.
Comedy shows, and for us, the book industry, we've had, I think it's about 3 years old, the Lofeld Book Fair,
mm-hmm.
which had been very, very exciting, and I guess the people behind it put quite a lot of investment in it, and
mm-hmm.
it was really, really well managed, and a huge benefit for the exhibitors. And it was also a space for writers from all over the categories out there to yeah. meet each other, to know that, you know, we exist. I was so excited to actually for the first time see people who work in the space of your environmental preservation,
yeah.
heritage sites, because we have quite a lot of that.
Yeah.
In the tourism space, as well as, you know, people who make a living from just taking photos of birds and you know, writing books about yeah. mountains and stones and stuff. So I realized that they, you know, there's a whole space of creative people. Even if, you know, we can't, we wouldn't call other things art, but mm-hmm. I guess art is just, there's a lot of additional things you can mm-hmm. add to art. And I'm somebody who does a lot of ecotourism and heritage research. So for me, that space in my province has also allowed me to market, you know, the books and the yeah. media products in that space as well. and it allowed us to tap into your hospitality industries. I mean, simple places like hotels or, you know, those are the places we can approach to distribute or sell our material, even audio material, you know. So I've been encouraging a lot of storytellers and poets to, you know, to expand their craft into being tour guides, for instance, because that's where you get to now express. You can you get to say your poetry. You get to you know.
That's pretty smart. Yeah.
And make money out of it. That itself is an that's a whole art.
It is.
So I love what's been happening, and with that, and then of course after March, there was a project we were going to begin with Nali Bali in our province, which involved local libraries and local schools, us promoting reading, writing, as well as encouraging, where we fit in, actually encouraging the learners to write their own stories and see if they can actually just, you know, get an opportunity once in their lifetime to be published. So if Nali Bali and government has that budget for that, then that's where we actually would fit in as a company and as writers ourselves to make sure that they receive these works.
Yeah.
And one of these or more of these learners get their work published, whether in writing or in audio. You know? Yeah. So that had to be a bit on hold, but yeah, we've explored quite a lot with YouTube channels and online. There's an online broadcasting TV station we're working with recently.
Okay.
In Mpumalanga, well, we're one of the only provinces that didn't have a TV station, so yeah, there's some young people that are putting a lot of interesting projects together there. Yeah, so we are using all those platforms because at the end of the day, we're still using the word, the written word,
yes,
or the spoken word, and that on its own is a very open space for any type of artists, whether they are, you know, in writing or performing or illustration, or that there's just so much that we explore, you know, recently. That's what we've been doing.
So tell my listeners, where else can they get hold of your work? So like website addresses and all, and just for reference, we will so all your social media links and all of that will be embedded in the podcast, so people can just click. But you know, just for the fact that these guys are listening, is there any like other like platforms where we can check out your work, your books, and all and so forth?
Yeah, sure. We are on kvia.co.za.
Could you just spell that?
Website. Kvia, KHEVIA.
Okay.
.co.za. Sure. That's our website. Sure. There is an online store that's being created, and it will be up any day from now. Those are just basics, the books, the ebooks, and so on that we're promoting.
Yeah.
And we also promote a whole lot of books that we know that people are looking for, or they're sort of not easy to get, especially in the Pan-African sphere, like Credo Mutua books, and you know, some of the books that got that were never republished again. So we want to create that space within the site as well,
okay,
and allow other people with our social medias media platforms to start exchanging books. If you've read that you know, series of books, and you'd want to exchange it for something else, which you know is not in the market or bookstores.
It's very cool.
So I'm of Kevia Media or Kevia Publishing and Media on Facebook, on Instagram. I don't do Twitter and LinkedIn.
I was searching for your
I
Twitter,
must
actually.
say,
I was gonna ask that. I didn't see you
no. No.
there.
I thought I think I have a personal profile there. I thought it was gonna work until I realized it's a whole lot of typing, your expression is more type, and I can't, I'd rather be speaking or
Yeah.
using the voice when it
Yeah.
comes to, I get really frustrated, typing up a whole lot
People
of
have
things.
always said that the fact that I'm not on Instagram, well, I finally, because of public pressure, but it was always like, oh my God, you're on Instagram. You know, it's like what I've picked up is that like all these platforms are like tailored for, like, Instagram is more visual, Twitter is more text driven, and Facebook is to create viral campaigns or to make things go viral. Yeah, it's actually quite a interesting balance how different artists use and don't use certain social media platforms. Are you on LinkedIn? And this is in closing, of course. Are you on LinkedIn?
Yes, I'm on LinkedIn, and I'm also on a couple of other. I just wanted to mention this as well.
Yeah,
You
please.
know, we there's a lot of organizations out there, if I may call them, or platforms that allow artists to sort of profile themselves specifically to intermingle,
Okay.
or meet each other, and whatever you want to create, whether it's meetings or reviews of books or
Sure.
little study groups or book, what do you call this, book clubs.
Yes.
And I promote this a lot. A lot of them are just startup or new or smaller platforms, but they actually do wonders for writers all over the world to know of each other and to see that there are other options to get your work published other than commercial publishing. So
Well, like, I
I
mean,
do quite a lot of those.
send me all those links. We'll definitely put that up. And I'll definitely champion that on your behalf of my platforms. I think those things are pretty important. I can hear the dogs are barking now, which is like an alarm to say, like, his time is up. Because
Yeah,
once
they
the
know it's
But yeah, man, so we have, just in closing, we have book week coming up, and I'll share the link with all my listeners. Kitiwe, thanks for spending time.
up. But yeah, where I thought this today's talk with Kitiwe was pretty cool. Some really interesting insights into her publishing company and her philosophy on life and art and so forth. So yeah, man, thanks well for tuning in. And yeah, man, just don't forget to catch us on all the on Spotify and iTunes, Google Podcasts, and don't forget to leave comments and give me a shout out, and let me know what you think of these episodes, man. Because I'm sure as hell enjoy bringing them to you. So thank you very much, and goodbye.